before. We had a great day yesterday, and God was really faithful. There's a lot of women in this room who were challenged to move past some of their issues in their own life. And if you, obviously, a lot of the men did not hear that, if you were here, but those messages will be up online over the next couple of weeks, and you can hear those testimonies. But God is doing something beyond these four walls. He's doing something in the lives of the women here that is not normal. It's not normal. I just want you to know that. Because of the amount of things that God has brought a lot of these women through. I'm not talking about I had an anger problem and God delivered me. We're talking about some real stuff that a lot of people, frankly, don't talk about because of fear or shame or being ostracized. But we felt like it's important that people understand that there's power in freedom, and Jesus has not called you to hide. And if you can get out from underneath shame, there's a world of opportunity out there that God wants to use you in that'll blow your mind. But you have to get out from the underneath shame, because it's a false facade that you hide in that does not do anything for you but push you further away from God's goodness and God's best. So that's why when we ask people to do the hard things, we ask them to do it because it's important that they stay focused and ready for what Jesus has for them, because he does have something good. And a lot of people preach about we got something good, but we're not experiencing the goodness of God. We're not, because we're stuck in tradition and we're stuck in how it used to be. Why would God die for how it used to be? He came because he didn't like the way it was. So if he's shaking up the ground and trying to get you out from the fallow ground and the sinking sand and get you on solid ground, you know there's going to be some tremors. There's going to be some stuff you're going to have to go through to get there, because there's stuff that we've stood on our whole life that may not be right. Why would I want to settle for God's less than God's best just because it's hard? Why would I want to hold back and do what God's called me to do just because it's uncomfortable? This is life. This is life. Jesus died so that you can be free. You are in a constant state of sanctification. Constant. He is always doing something, trying to get you to where he wants you to be and be ready to be used by God. The reason why things happen in this church that are not normal is because people say yes to hard things. And not everybody likes that. So sometimes, and I'm just telling you this way, church attendance comes in waves. They come in seasons. But I believe what God's doing in this church, he said, listen, all y'all who are not ready to do the hard things, I'm holding you out. I'm bringing everybody in who's ready to move on in all the things that I have for them. Because God's not doing church like normal. He's not doing church like usual. And God's going to start sending people into places by his Spirit, and they're going to be used to help free people, free people. The reason why there's warfare in your life right now, the reason why you get up and already the enemy's peppering your mind and your head about stuff, because he wants so desperately to hold on to the past. You can have a good day like yesterday and then get up back in anxiety. Because the enemy's just sitting there like a blanket, like, oh yeah, when they get up, watch. And you wake up weighted. Why am I weighted? Why am I thinking, oh, what's going to happen today? Just had a great day yesterday. Spirit of God did something. There were some seeds that were deposited. All of a sudden, the enemy comes in and just starts peppering, trying to take the seeds out. And I'm going to bring their past up again and just say, just remember, that was a good day yesterday, but that was one day. But he gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that's why you got to continue in that attitude. It's not that I go back. No, I'm going to a different level. I'm already on a different level. We're already on a different level. That means I got to gear up and know that that praise, that song that he's put in my heart needs to resound. I went to bed singing last night. Because when I got up, I knew you're going to try something. But I said, no. I said, I did one of these. I don't know. No. No, because of what he has, and it doesn't matter who's coming or who's not coming, what he has. I know what he, I feel, I sense that he wants to do something new. We're on a different level. I can't go back. You got to come up. Ladies, you got to stay up. Yes. Don't go down. Don't go down. Too many people need what you have. Yes. Churches, plural, need what you have. And it may not be the way they want it to be, but they need what you have. And it's the Spirit of God inside of you. And so all that tradition, all that stuff that God's been churning up is for your good. Stay up. Stay up. There's going to be places that God is going to put you in that you probably thought you'd never be in. But it's for your good. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm just in stance right now. So we're in the last week of Rejected Like David. It's been 2 months already on this. And I know that God's been speaking on rejection and helping you deal with different forms of rejection, because sometimes what we don't realize is that a lot of what we do comes out of something that we were rejected by, something or someone we were rejected by. And God tries to get to the root of that to pull it up so we can be free, so that you don't rehearse old things that God has already set you free from. And realize that those things are just shadows now in your life. They're shadows. But God doesn't want me to stay in the shadow. He wants me to move out. And so we're going to read this last portion of scripture, and then we're going to put this series to bed, and we're going to move on. It says, when King David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. Look, David said, I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I have never lived in a house. From the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day, I have always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders, the shepherds of my people Israel. I've never asked them, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house? Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on this earth. Pause. And this was before he sinned. And I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past. Starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name. And I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do. But my favor will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. God said, I've got something for you to do, but this is not it. This was before David sinned with Bathsheba, by the way. God already had a plan to prosper him and make his name great. And God came through on that, because we know that David did have sons and they did rule. And we know that Jesus is in David's line. And you can't talk about Jesus and not talk about David, because it always goes back to David in some way, some way. He was a man after God's own heart. God used him tremendously. We know he fell, but that does not discount all the good things that God did through him, because he was just a man. You don't throw that whole portion of scripture out where David was routing enemies and that he was doing things for God just because sin entered in. God doesn't do it with you. So we have a God who loves us and who already has the desire to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future, despite the fact that he knows what you're going to do already. In fact, he says this, but God demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I already know you're going to sin. I already know you're going to mess up. I already know you're going to fall short, but I'm going to lay down my life for you because I'm in a relationship with you. God said, I already foresaw it. He already saw the garden before the garden happened. So you can try to get into your head and wonder, why did God allow it? God's purpose supersedes yours. You can't figure out God and try to make him fit into your box. It's a reason why when we sing songs like this, it helps us break out of the box. Lord, help me not to box you in. Help me to let you out so you can do your thing. Because I know your thoughts are not like my thoughts, and your ways are not like my ways. And so I'm going to allow you to do what you have to do because you're better and greater than I am. And if we can get that attitude, God said, now we can get somewhere. Nathan even said, go ahead and do it. The Lord's with you. But God can even interrupt a prophet. Not this time, Nathan. But tell David this. And what I like about David's response, and if you read further down, David began to thank God for who he was and for the ability for God to bless him, even though it wasn't his responsibility to build the temple, but the fact that his son would. He praised God even though he was being reassigned. Reassignment does a couple things for you. It can either make you bitter, or you can praise God for the fact that you are graduated to the point in your life where God trusts you or trusts someone you're in relationship with to do the job. Because really what we're talking about here is we're talking about legacy. Because that's what God's into. God's into legacy. He's not into you getting all what you're supposed to get to in your life, and you get to the end of your life and all of a sudden nobody in your family is saved. No one can come up behind you and carry on the light that he started with you. So why does God go to great lengths for you to walk in that new nature? Because there are other people that are coming up behind you that God said, that's got to transcend from generation to generation. Why is there a fight over your kid at 7 years old, at 6 years old? Because the enemy is trying to do everything he can to perpetuate generationally things in your life so that they keep cycling. They keep cycling. Why can't my kid read or write? Why can't my kid do math computations in their head anymore? Why can't my kid function without crying all day? Why can't my kid? Why? What is it about this that's fair? What is it about this that God has allowed? What is God trying to show me in this? It's real simple. The enemy's trying to get her young, Richie. Remember your life, Rich? When he came in at 6, 7, and some stuff happened to you. And as I began to look back, I'm like, that sneaky little. She will walk and do what God's called her to do. And that cycle ended. And now she's flying, literally. Because God knows, and the enemy knows, if I can get him young, I've got them. Let's see what they're going to do. And sometimes God's looking at your response and saying, okay, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? Malia. If you can't see that there are patterns in your family that God wants to break, then we're missing why Jesus came. Jesus did not come just to set you free. He said, I came to set the captives free. And that's plural. And sometimes captives means there are people in your family who need to be free. So when we talk about generational stuff in here and generational curses and blessings, it's a real deal. It's a real deal because it goes down 3 and 4 generations. That's what sin does. 3 and 4 generations. It's not just one. It's not like hair loss. When people say, oh, you must have, it must have skipped you. and you didn't get, but I didn't, all that stuff to me, you can make up lies, whatever you want. I'm bald. And that's just the way it is, okay? It might be because sin entered into the world. It might be because my dad was bald. I don't care who was bald. The fact of the matter is I look like Damon Wayans, and I hated it when my hair grows out. That's why I shave it, okay? I don't care. But the fact of the matter is that sin perpetuates generationally. And I'm telling you right now, I've just been thinking about that, that she would have been like 3 or 4, the older one. I think God said, that's enough. Y'all going to know that story. You may never know that story. Because he says, I'm righteous and I'm just. I forgive, but there's going to be consequences. And some of y'all might be suffering consequences for something that you had no control over. But because God's word is true and he's righteous and he's just, you have to bear the brunt of it. But it doesn't mean that you have to live the rest of your life in bondage. It stops with me. Mm-mm. The Spirit of God is not interested in perpetuating unhealthy patterns and delusional ideas about God and false ideologies about Christianity in your life. If your parent was an atheist, God is not interested in you staying in that same vein. If we're trying to break up the ground of all my tradition, God is not interested in you walking in depression like your mom did. God is not interested in you walking in lack like your family did. If there's something inside of you that's just jumping with the opportunity for new, God said, because I put it there. I'm not going to put it in you if I'm not going to do it through you. And I'm going to do it through you, but it's going to be some time and you're going to have to go through some stuff and you're going to sweat it out a little bit and you're going to walk it out. But I have something for you. If you just stand up and fight, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. God said, that if you fight, I'll fight with you. God is not looking for people who lay down their swords on Monday. And then you pick it back up on Sunday because it's a traditional thing for you to go to church and worship. Hence, break up the ground of all my tradition. So on Monday, I still got my sword. Even though I'm tired, I got my sword up. Let's go. Tuesday, I still got my sword up. Wednesday, I got a meeting. My sword's up. Thursday, I'm getting ready for the weekend because I just got past hump day. Now, my sword's up. Okay. Friday, my sword's up. Okay. It's not 5 o'clock somewhere for me. Okay, it's Friday, I'm getting ready. I got some family time. My schedule is not like normal schedule. My sword has to be up. There are things happening. Yeah, if you're going to do it, let's do it. There are things happening from all levels. There are worship nights. There are conferences. There are people's lives are in balance. I'm trying to get my mind right. Physically, I'm trying to get strong. Wrong week. I'm trying to love my wife like Christ laid down his life for the church. I'm trying to do things for my kids. It's not just sucking my thumb when I get tired or get weary. It's gird myself up and say, I know who I am because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me. I don't have time to play games. There's too much that God is trying to do for me just to sit back and say, well, that's just the way it is. It can't be that way because Saturday is not like a normal Saturday. For most people, I see my neighborhood. People are out walking around. It's a great weekend. How you doing, neighbor? I'm in a fight. You don't really want to know. How you doing? It is pruning the hedges with the hat on. I'm picking up dog poop on the side and walking it down because my kids don't do it and throwing it in here and coming back to the house. That's what I'm doing, thinking about church, thinking about what God's doing, trying to hear the Spirit of God and what he's saying. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing? You're trying to figure out whether or not you're a woman or a man? What? I'm not doing that. I already know who I am. And I don't have time to worry about what you say. I got stuff to do. There's too much going on for me to try to figure out whether or not you're in or you're out. I don't know. You don't want to go, don't go. But this is what we're doing here. You don't like the smell of something? Go somewhere else. Try to figure out whether or not you want to play. I don't have time for games. So if you know me, don't try to play one. If you don't want the truth, don't ask me. You know how people do. Hey, listen, just so you know, you can tell me anything. Okay. Sure. There's too much at stake. There's too much going on in life for me to keep cycling around and going around the same thing over and over again. There comes a point where I got to stick my foot in the ground and say, that's it. Lord, I'm going to trust that you're faithful and you're going to come through. So I'm giving over and above. Because I believe that he who promised is faithful. I'm not counting pennies when I give. I'm giving over and above. And I'm paying for people when I go out. Because it's better to do that. Come on now. It's better to do that than have someone want to pay for me. I'm going to start doing that. Now, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. Reverse the curse. Stop looking for someone to give you something and you be the initiator and go out and say, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying you got to do it all the time, but have an attitude of giving. And God says, oh, now we can get somewhere because it's better to give than receive. It's not, and don't play the game. I'm just trying to receive, brother. It's okay to receive, but let's start giving. And you can tell when people are playing that game. Oh, I see what's going on here. You're waiting for me to ask whether or not I want you to do something or whether or not I'm going to give you something or actually pay. I see what you're doing. I see the game. I'm not, so we're going to keep walking. Because people want to be pursued. And two, they want to know they're loved and valued, but the way they want to be know they're loved and valued is that if you reach out to them and take care of their needs all the time. But the problem is, it's not an issue of taking care of needs. It's when you become needy and you can't do for yourself what you should be doing for yourself. Now we have a codependency issue that you're trying to deal with here. And now you're trying to help me foster that. I can't do that. So it's a reason why we tell you to stand up straight. Strengthen yourself, do what God's called you to do because it's healthy that way. It might mean you have to struggle, but guess what? You're trying to break generational curses. If your parents are passive aggressive, it doesn't mean you have to be passive aggressive. If your parents gave you everything, oh man, it might be hard for you to appreciate a good work ethic and hard work. If you're trying to figure out who you are, you don't look at it in magazines and ask someone else, who am I? You get into the Word of God and get alone with Jesus and allow the Lord to take you through a season to strip you of stuff that's false so that he can reveal his purpose and his plan for you. And it's okay to be alone for a season so that God does his work. Jesus was. But we're in this idea that I got to have everybody else around me in order to do life. You don't. Jesus said, I'm first. Just give me Jesus. And when that's first, guess what? All those other things, all those people are added in a healthy way. All of them. And now they just add to you. If people are subtracting and they're not adding, we've got a math problem. Wait a minute. You got to meet me halfway here, man. It's embarrassing to be a Christian sometimes. It's embarrassing. Because we use words like grace and we use words like God's love and all that other stuff, and it's so superfluous that the Christian walk is just some fantasy world that we live in with no reality. This is reality. Your walk is a reality. You tell me stuff like, well, God told me. Okay. Cool. And then I see your life. God didn't tell you. I'm fired up. I am so fired up today because I'm tired. I'm tired of church as usual. I'm tired of people. Just God told me this. And all of a sudden it got hard and now you're out. Well, God told you what? And now you're out. That wasn't either. It was God and you weren't man enough to take it and do it. And now he's just going to send you in another season and learn it that way. But I don't have time for that, man. I'm too old, and I've been around too long church for church to be the same as it was. And I think God's looking at the church and saying, I can't deal with the church like it is. I want you to think, as God said, he's a real owner. He's a real manager. He's a real builder of the church. He builds a church. And I want you to think of how the owner is looking at his church. When the owner goes to work, it's different when the employees are working, because everyone thinks everything is good, right? How you doing? Good. They're smoking blunts in the back. You know, everyone's coming in. Everything's good. Boss is coming. Cologne. But by the way, that makes it worse. So coming in, how you doing? I don't know, man. I got a contact buzz because of weed that's coming out here. But think about all that stuff. We do that, right? Boss is coming. We got to get right. Not living right. We got to get right. All that stuff that we talk about, all the stuff that God's trying to do, and he's good. But when it really gets serious and you realize, well, there has to be a change, then we got to. I'll follow Jesus. As long as he gets me out of this. Not to mention that he already has gotten you out of it 5 times. And now you're back in it. When is enough enough? When is not walking in power, love, and self-discipline, when is that not going to be the standard for you? Is it always going to be emotionally, I got to get to the end of myself in order for God to come through? That's not what weakness is. And God being made perfect in weakness. People do, I'm emotionally distraught. You could just be tired. You work 10 hours for 10 straight days. You're probably tired. Has nothing to do with Jesus' love. Go to bed, get up the next day, and I promise you, things are going to look different. Take the day off, you get up, all of a sudden, life's good. You slept. Yeah. Not everything is like Jesus' fault either, man. It's like his fault. Now, sin entered in the world because sin is here. Death is a result. So you're going to be dealing with emotional things, and things are going to try to come against you to take you out because of the nature that's in this world right now. And if you don't think you have the effects of the old nature, just wait. You'll see. There's still a button that can be pressed. And the enemy knows when that button is pressed, whoa, here comes the beast. You come back into your former self 25 years ago. You don't think that it's still there. It's there. It's just the Lord's got it. The spirit, you know, is down. It's down. Just wait. There are certain things that you know as well as I do. If it's touched right, it comes out. And that's how you know the Spirit of God has helped you deal with some of that stuff. Because if the real you came out like the old you, we'd probably have some problems. Let's go to some questions today, Maria. When has God interrupted your plan to do something for him? All the time. I'll be honest with you, there are times in my life where I'm like, man, I'm going to go back to my old job. I was good at McDonald's, man, they loved me. Man, love me there. I was elevating. Things were good. And then I started walking with Jesus. And he's like, well, we're not doing that anymore. You're going to walk with me through some hard stuff, but I got you. And so there are times where it would have been easier just to go back and say, well, let's just do that because I could do that. It's tough to do this now because sometimes I can't see in the dark. But I know he has me. And the grace is here in this season to do what God's called me to do. No matter how much the sales or target look good, I don't want to work there. So if God has you in a place and a position, and most people are in those places or positions where we didn't plan it necessarily, but we know God has us there, we can rest in it. Even though it's hard and it's difficult, we know his grace is sufficient. Number two, what was your response? And initially, the response at times is, I don't want to do this anymore. Ask Jonah. You want me to go where? All right. Where y'all going? Tarshish? All right, let's go there. God knows where you're at all times. So when we talk about breaking up tradition and breaking up grounds, you can try to go back to your old way of life. Guess who's there? God. And if it's not God's will, guess what you're not doing? That. Oh, yes, I will. Yeah. Guess what you're not doing? That. They won't pick up the phone. They won't text you back. Let's be real truthful in here. You know, there have been times in your life where, like, man, I tell you what, Lord, here's the fleece. I'm sending it out. If I get a hit on this resume, I know it's you. I'm sending a text out, Lord. If they send it back, I know it's you. Lord, if you want me to get back together with them, I will. But I'll know if that's the right number when I send it out. Nothing. Those things in those days are over. God is big enough to stop you from going back to your old self and doing your old things in the same old way. Why is this important? Because there's too much at stake when it comes to God's will and God's purpose over yours. His purpose supersedes yours. Supersedes it. So if you've been in a season, you got to ask yourself, what is it about the season I'm trying to learn that I need to learn? Because it's vital for my success as a Christian, because if it's about God and not about me, there's some things I need to learn about God in this season. If you call yourself a Christian, which everyone in here, I believe, does. So what is God trying to teach me now? Because I'm going to need it in the next one. And it may not be where I want to be in my own mind, but I know that God's grace is sufficient and it is better than what I think it is. I just can't see it all. You understand what I'm saying? I just can't see it all. It's better than what I think it is because he's doing something in me that I can't see. But when I get out of it, I'm not going to be able to measure what he did. David could not foresee all that God was going to do. We're talking about thousands of years later. We're still talking about David. We always go back to, we're still talking about David. We're still talking about his legacy. I know a lot of it. We're still talking about this, oh, the sin. I'm over that. That's one portion of his life. But we like fascinate on, oh, he was just a man. He was. But what we do is we use it as an excuse. Well, if David sinned, I'm gonna. Yeah, but it doesn't have to perpetuate generationally. Because now you have a savior, you have a mediator between God and man, Jesus. If you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Doesn't mean there's not consequences, but you don't have to walk generationally in a pattern of sin anymore. He's broken that in your life. This was pre-Jesus cross. We are post-Jesus cross. And if you're honest, why would you want some of the things your parents did? If you know that they weren't good for you. And you love them and respect them, but I do not want to walk in that same pattern because there is no fruit. There was nothing that I saw that was beneficial about that. And the Lord gives you a glimpse into that stuff to say, I got something different for you. Good. Let's move that way. I'm moving that way. I want to be healthy. I want to be stable. I want my mind to be right. I want to be strong in spirit. I want to be able to allow the Lord to use me in different ways and say yes and not be afraid of the outcome. That's what I want. I don't want to be shacked up in a house just dying. I'm just dying because I'm afraid to try and wondering, is somebody going to come? They're not coming. They're just not. So, Lord, what are you asking me to do? I'm asking you to trust me and walk where I've called you to walk. That's what God is asking each one of us. David probably didn't understand it, but he trusted God. David was a worshiper, but he was also a man of war. And God said, my grace for you is here. And you've done what I've asked you to do, and you're going to do more. This was before a lot of those things happened in David's life. But this specific assignment is not for you. It's for your son. Are you okay with that? I'm okay with it. Are you okay with the grace of God in your life? Or do you have to be like someone else? Why would you want to be like someone else in your family when God has created you? Do you not see yourself value? I'm telling you, one of the things that God is trying to do is, and he's done it in my life, but I know he's trying to do in the lives of his people, is to understand that you are unique to Jesus. Very unique. I don't care how it looks or what you didn't get. My past is dead. So even if the enemy tries to bring that stuff up, I don't even play with it. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Missy used this illustration yesterday, and I thought it was very powerful, when she had the string that was tied around the ankles. And it was a picture of, at that time, she was talking about God's daughters being bound. And that's what she thought it was, but God said, look closer. And there was nothing holding it together. There was no lock on it. So all they had to do was walk out. And it would just, it would go. The tomb is empty. Yes. The jail cells have been broken open. Your responsibility now is to start walking. And as you do, chains start to go. And the enemy knows. Once you start walking in the freedom that God has provided for you, things can't hold you anymore. What is holding you? I want to say it this way. It's like a phantom hold. Phantom. We think it's there, but it's not. And so what it does is it's scary. It's one of those things where, remember when you were a kid and you saw like a shadow on the wall, like, oh my God, it's huge. And as it got closer, it was like, oh my God, it's my dog. And I'm saying, it was in their mind, right? I'm like, oh, it's just you. Okay. So it's the same way. It's like a phantom. It comes in. It's like we start dealing with the stuff. It's like unforgiveness is one of those things that sits there. How we used to see ourselves sits there. All those, the emotional ties sits there. And you realize it's not there anymore. It's not there. But in our mind, we think it still is. And we hold back from who God has created us to be, because we think, what if that comes up again? What if it might try? But you're already free. It can't lock you. You know when it has you? When you stay. And you believe that it's still there. But in reality, it's not. Sometimes we lock ourselves up, and Jesus said, listen, I've already given you the key. There are no chains on you. But we keep looking for them. Because we don't, oh, Lord, there's got to be something. I know there's got to be something. And this is where you operate. Lord, I know, oh, there it is. I have an attitude problem. Yeah, you probably do. But you're still free. There are probably things you're going to think that are not godly. You did today. Right? But you're still free. And so the enemy, oh, no, you're still bound. No, I'm free. There is no condemnation. I'm learning to walk, and I'm being sanctified as I come in. I'm still dealing with anxiety. I'm still free. I don't know, I got this emotional stuff. Okay, you're still free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm still free. Man, and when I begin to realize that, all of a sudden, I start walking in power when I realize, man, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. What can come up against me that he hasn't given me the grace to deal with? If he delivered me from that, what is this? Ben, come on up. You don't have time to mess around with stuff that's not profitable for you. And honestly, you don't have time to get entangled with people who are not going the same direction you are. You can love them, but you can also leave them or lead them. You don't have time to compromise on stuff that God has already been specific to you about in your life not to compromise on. You don't have time. You can't go back and redo what's already been done. It's done already. It's part of your story. Rejoice in it. The power that you have today is a result of that. And you can give God the praise and the glory because His strength was made perfect in weakness and gave you the ability to handle stuff. And now you're strong in Him. You're confident in Him. You've got more love. You've got more tenacity now because of it. Why would you want to trade that? When you have the answer, some of you have been reassigned and God did some things differently with your life. Praise God. Took you out of your family and said, I got something different for you. Praise God. And when we can rejoice in all things and give thanks, like Paul said, we start to graduate to different levels of faith. And God says, now we're getting somewhere because you're praising me in all things. You're praising me when it's hard. You're praising me when it's difficult. You're praising me when it's good. You're praising me when they come. You're praising me when they go. And God said, now you're living in freedom. Now you're living in joy because you know that I give and I take away. You know that when I decide to bless, it's good. And when I decide to move you on, it's good. Now you're living free. Now you're living free in me because you know who I am and how strong I am in you. You're not worried about all this other stuff. Don't you want that freedom? Don't you want that confidence to know that if He's for you, He's not against you, and that if He is great in you, He's going to be greater than the one that's in the world? Don't you want that confidence to know that even though the enemy comes in, that you can overcome because you overcome by the blood and the word of your testimony? Don't you want that confidence to know that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? Don't you want that confidence that when you speak, mountains move, chains break, that when you worship, that you actually break strongholds in the atmosphere, and that when you do things in Jesus' name, He's doing it through you, not because of you? Don't you want that? You're not held back by emotional dysfunction, but you can hug someone in love and it not be sexual. Because perfect love casts out fear. Then you can be Jesus to someone and not get entangled with them. Because God's calling you to those people. You're strong because of who Jesus is. You're strong because the one inside of you is strong. Don't apologize for your strength. The enemy would like nothing more to get you to fall back because you're embarrassed about your strength. And I'm telling you this from experience. Because he doesn't want the real power of the gospel going out. Because the real power of the gospel starts inside. Mountains are still being moved. There are lions that are still roaring. Jesus is still bringing dead things back to life. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness today. Lord, your goodness that meets us where we're at. We know that we're not playing church as usual. You're doing something different. Thank you, God, for this time, this generation, what you're doing now. Lord, what you started by your death on the cross, you made a new way. The tomb is empty. We thank you that we don't have to stay in that tomb any longer. And that today, Lord, we declare by your Spirit, we're going to come out and we're going to stay out. I thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk in freedom and seeing what true freedom really is. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the emotional issue is, no matter what phantom thing we think is there, we know that we have been set free in you. There is no condemnation. And as we begin to walk those things out, those things in our life will be broken. We will not see lack as we saw it in our family. There will not be financial distress like we saw in our family. There will not be poverty in our family. There will be success wherever we go, whatever we put our hand to, and whatever we do, we will prosper because of who's inside of us. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living because of the one who's in us is greater than the one that's in the world. We will see a great outpouring of your spirit because the one who's in us is greater than the one that's in the world. Shake up the ground. Move tradition. Bring people in. Move people out. We thank you, God, for a great outpouring of your spirit in our life and the lives of the people that you're going to bring us to. We're not asking for the same. We're asking for something different. Help us to rise up as the church and to do things like you've called us to do, to raise the dead, to heal the sick because of the spirit of God that's inside of us. Help us to be bold in our faith and not to hold back, but to loose people from their chains because you've given us the freedom to loose people and that we don't have to walk bound. Because if the sun sets us free, we are free indeed. In Jesus' name.